Crap.
Ferrans, Bailey, Ferrar, Romeo, Hebrides, Alpha, Del Valle, Indigo, Oscar, Alpha, Charmin, Tango, Indigo, Victor,
Trafalgar,
Echo, Indigo,
Finister,
November, Tango,
Iris,
Echo, Romeo,
Biscay,
November,
Humber,
Alpha, Tango,
Portland,
Indigo, Oscar,
Chromatic,
November, Alpha,
Time,
Lima, Dot, Oscar, Romeo, Golf.
About Tony Blair being a good speaker.
Yes.
I think he's crap. No, I'll tell you for why. You watch when he's speaking, he stops and there's like pauses for 4 or 5 seconds while he thinks of what he's gonna
crap.
Outside the law for 12 months. The law says we must cross the picket line. We didn't cross the picket line.
You don't know how I feel, and I'm
I'm lying in bed at night wondering where tomorrow's dinner's coming from. And you don't know how it feels when your son tells you to sell his bike so you can pay the electricity bill.
Trodden on so much before you start fighting back. Can only be trodden on so much before you start fighting back. Can only be trodden on so much before you start fighting back. Can only be trodden on so much before you start fighting back.
You don't know how I feel when I'm lying in bed at night wondering where tomorrow's dinner's coming from. And you don't know how it feels when your son tells you to sell his bike so you can pay the electricity bill.
I can only be trodden on so much before you start fighting back. I can only be trodden on so much before you start fighting back.
Joking aside, though, we're having a bit of a collection, see if we can send him to Lourdes.
Did you hear about the kid from Liverpool in a bloody wheelchair he took to Lourdes? He got him to the water's edge and he couldn't get in because his legs were twisted, so they had to hire a little crane and pick him and the wheelchair up, hold it over the water and submerge him. And when he come out, they all had a look at his legs. Well, his legs were still twisted, but the wheelchair had two new tyres on it.
Someone's hiding in the bushes with a telephoto lens, while their editor assures them the means justify the ends. 'Cause we only hunt celebrities and it's all a bit of fun. But the Scousers never buy the sun. And the parents of the missing girl cling desperately to hope, while a copper takes improper payments in a thick brown envelope. And nobody in the newsroom asks where this information's from. The Scousers never buy the sun. Tabloids make their money betting bullshit baffles brains, and they cynically hold up their hands if anyone complains. And they say, well, we just give in the people what they want. Well, they're crying out for justice. People crying out for justice. And the man they call the digger casts a proprietary eye over what goes on in the gutter and what happens in the sky. And he claims he's fit and proper. And the watchdog sings his song, but the Scousers never buy the sun. International executives, they hang their head in shame, tell us with their hands on heart that the paper boy is to blame. But everyone who loves that kiss and tell, you must share the blame as well. But the Scousers never buy the sun. Tabloids making millions, betting bullshit baffles brains, and they cynically hold up their hands if anyone complains. And just say, look, we're just giving the people what they want. Well, they're crying out for justice. People crying out for justice in the corridors of power. They all sit down to sup with the devil and his minions, and they ask for his opinions. And the politicians wring their hands and say what's to be done. But the the Scousers never buy the sun. Well, no one comes out well in this when all is said and done, but the Scousers never buy the sun.
Liverpool has always been a proud city. Whether it's been letting the world know about its greatness through song and poetry, or protesting against the blows it's received through strikes and radicalism. But throughout its turbulent history, there's always been one thing Liverpoolians can feel proud of: football. In times of adversity, many Scousers have found pride and comfort in the success of their football teams. But what happens when even football turns against Liverpool? In April 1989, 96 Liverpool fans were crushed to death during their team's FA Cup semi-final match against Nottingham Forest. Almost 20 years on, and the Hillsborough Stadium disaster still raises powerful emotions in the city.
My wife's brother was at Hillsborough and actually went through the fatal gate and recalls seeing this bright patch of green, the pitch, which lured so many people towards the place where they were crushed. He actually turned in another direction, but it was a couple of hours before we knew that he was all right. I'd heard reports of what was going on the radio, and it was very, very tense. Finally, he managed to get to somebody's house and use the phone.
For me, it was a horrible afternoon. But in a city as close as Liverpool, there were many who were touched directly by the Hillsborough tragedy. And for those who were there, the events are still fresh in the memory.
What was your personal experience at Hillsborough?
Three carloads of us went. 15 of us, 5 in each car. 14 came back. The youngest lad, Peter MacDonald, he died. I think he was 21. Just the maddest day ever in history, you know, for me.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they just opened the gates and everyone just piled in. And there was a tunnel. You could go left, you could go right, or you could go in the obvious tunnel in front of you. So everyone just piled into the tunnel. And you just knew there was something wrong. And then I saw a lad on the pitch getting the kiss of life, and I was screaming, "That lad's dead, that lad's dead." The people who were there will never get over it, and obviously the ones who have lost people, you know. It will always loom like a dark cloud over the city, you know.
But rather than receiving sympathy, Jegsy and the Liverpool fans were accused in some papers, most notably The Sun, of the most vile behaviour. Under the headline "The Truth," The Sun newspaper accused Liverpool fans of pickpocketing their dead and dying and urinating on the police.
How did you feel when you read that story in The Sun?
It was horrible, it was cruel. I mean, it's just outrageous, you know. I've never bought The Sun anyway, but there was a campaign then to, obviously, for the whole city to boycott. Liverpool and Everton fans, the whole city united against it, you know. And that ban still carries today, you know. But I've seen people sitting in pubs reading The Sun and people just walk up and rip the paper up in front of them, just snatch it out of their hand. It's, people are passionate about it, it's a strong feeling, you know.
I mean, but you've carried a sense of grievance, I suppose, or I don't know, I mean, how has it affected your life since, I suppose?
I've got to be honest, I'm sick of the actual word Hillsborough, you know, because it's gone on for so long and stuff, but it's still there, you know what I mean, because justice was never, ever done. The city does kind of almost come across as having like a blame culture, but they're trying to blame everybody else, because when you get attacked from outside all the time, whether it's through comedy and all these jokes, how many Scousers, blah, 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 you know, and when you get politicians having a go and newspapers having a go, you do pull up the drawbridge. You say, "Oof, well, we've had enough." So it is a siege mentality sometimes, where you do think, well, if you don't like us, well, fair enough. We'll almost reinvent ourselves as the Republic of Liverpool, almost like a Basque kind of region.
Yeah.
We are agitators, but for a good reason, you know, because we're sick of people having a go at us from everywhere.
Some have represented Liverpool's continuing grievance about Hillsborough as a mawkish obsession of the city. But putting it in the context of Liverpool's traumatic decline of the last 30 years, you begin to understand why the city responds as it does.
Since I left, I've been back to Liverpool, I don't know, probably 200 times. And I thought I'd mixed with a wide variety of people and understood the place. After all, I obviously had family visits, but also I'd done benefits for the Picket and the Unemployed, my own shows at the Playhouse and the Empire, even Richard and Judy when they were based here. But it's only really through making this film and also through interviewing people like Doreen and Jexy that really I came to understand that I was only skating on the surface of the city, really, and understanding the trauma that people had felt over the last 20 years or so.
I'm beginning to understand why Scousers are such a touchy lot. Even though I've been a victim of it, it's not self-pity, but a response, sometimes admittedly over the top, to extraordinary circumstances. We certainly know how to hold a grudge, though. I've heard in Liverpool that people won't even take the sun for free, and staunch Liverpudlian Tony offered to prove it to me.
Alex, you say? Oh my God! Right.
Yeah.
Oh man.
What's he want a young one for years and everything?
So far,
now I've got a shop. Yeah.
Yeah, shut up.
But well, we're giving away free copies of the sun.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm right here.
Just noticed this behind.
Nothing got that
one. Pull that out of Keck's pocket.
Nice one, Tom.
You got a nice seal here.
Bye.
Yeah, mate.
My free copy of the sun.
Forgot your paper.
Don't want the sun.
Oh, where's my. Yeah.
Sun.
Three.
After Hillsborough.
Are you in red or blue?
I'm neutral.
You're neutral? Even the bitter blues won't buy you.
That's good, isn't it?
Well, it's still a city.
Solidarity, yeah.
Trying to give these away, you know, if you're interested in one. Sun, free. Bye.
We're giving away free copies of the Sun as well. Would you like one?
No, you're all right.
It's not anywhere.
We're trying to give away free copies of the Sun. Do you want one?
No, thank you.
No, thank you. We're trying to give away free copies of the Sun. Would you like one?
No.
You wouldn't like a Sun?
No.
Can't afford a Sun on you?
No.
Would you take a Sun for free?
No.
Completely free?
No.
Free Sun?
Do you want a free paper? The Sun?
Oh, yeah. No. The sun. No, sorry. Can I...
You can burn it if you want, lads.
To prove his point further, off-camera, Tony suggested some old-style direct action.
I want to burn them, to be honest. I'll lose my job live now. I don't care.
Our director is a bit worried that it's a public order offence and we'll get the busies.
Do you get burns all the time?
Well, I'm still... I feel that, you know, my anarchism coming on, so I'm happy for you to burn it.
Yeah. What are you doing that for? The sun, lads. We don't have the sun. That's all we think of the sun.
What
did you tell
you for that?
I never done it at all, actually.
Typical scouser, that. You're blaming me. We're not going to get a good review in the sun for this,
everyone,
are we?
Everyone's come out made up for that.
Even after 20 years, the dogged boycott of the sun still exists, and it's rooted in the infinite pride of the people in themselves and their city.
Like going round, there's trouble at the
justice for the 96.
On the 15th of April 1989, football fans headed to Hillsborough Stadium in Sheffield to watch Liverpool play Nottingham Forest in the semi-final of the FA Cup. There was always a risk of overcrowding at Hillsborough. To avoid it, the previous year police had put in place a filtering system for fans arriving at the stadium. But not today. Today it was decided to let the fans find their own level. With half an hour to go before kick-off, a dangerous bottleneck had developed outside the ground. The fans were now seriously at risk. An officer outside the ground radioed through to Chief Superintendent Duckenfield and requested that an exit gate be opened to relieve the pressure on the turnstiles. Duckenfield gave the order, "Open the gate." But the tunnel was not closed off by police. Fans were not filtered into the emptier side pens, and as a further 2,000 fans entered the stadium, many headed straight into the already packed central pens. As kick-off approached, the worst disaster in the history of British sport was unfolding on the terraces.
This is BBC One, and now we go over to Maurice Stewart in the newsroom.
74 people have been killed in a crush of spectators at this afternoon's FA Cup semi-final between Liverpool and Nottingham Forest at the Hillsborough Ground in Sheffield. One report says as many as 84 could be dead. Fans tried to escape up into the stands from the crush at the Liverpool end and over the spiked crowd barriers at the front. An ambulance appeared as the scale of the disaster became clear. The first casualties were stretchered away, fans and soccer officials helping the rescue workers. Desperate attempts were made to revive victims where they lay as firemen and police struggled to reach those trapped behind the security barriers. It's the worst disaster in British football history. More than 200 other people were injured.
The road is long, with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where, who knows where. But I'm strong.
is it worth it? And you and a coat and shoes for the wife, and a bicycle on the boy's birthday. It's just a rumor that was spread around town by the women and children. Soon we'll be shipbuilding. Well, I ask you, the boy said, Dad, they're going to take me to task, but I'll be back by Christmas. It's just a rumor that was spread around town. Somebody said that someone got killed in, for saying that people get killed in, the result of this ship building. With all the will in the world, diving for dear life, when we could be dying.
When I return, united we will be
It's not the leaving of Liverpool that grieves me, but my darling, when I think of thee, I am bound on a Yankee clipper ship. Davy Crockett is her name, and her captain's name, it is Burgess, and they say that she's a floating hell. So very well, my own true love, when I return united he will be. It's not the leaving of Liverpool that grieves me, but my darling, when I think of thee. Oh, I sailed with Burgess once before, and I think I know him well. If a man's a sailor, he will get along. If he's not, then he's sure in hell. So fare well, my own true love, when I return united we will be. It's not the leaving of Liverpool that grieves me, but my darling, when I think of thee. Ah, the ship is in the harbour, love, and you know I can't remain. Though I know that it will be a long, long time before I see you again. So fare thee well, my own true love, when I return united we will be. It's not the leaving of Liverpool that grieves me, but my darling, when I think of thee.
One more time!
So fare thee well, my own true love, when I return united we will be.
We will be!
It's not the leaving of Liverpool that grieves me, but my darling, when I think of thee.
The struggles which are taking place in Liverpool have a connection to those particular struggles. When we see the struggles at Hargreaves, the attacks on working miners, on striking miners by the police, when we refer back to 1926, we see a comparison in exactly the same thing taking place as did take place in 34 in Minneapolis. And people think we'll just have a bit of a cosy read about history, a bit of nostalgia. But we in Liverpool seriously dug out our copies of the Teamsters' Rebellion and tried to learn some of the lessons of organisation, of transportation and communication, which we're still looking at, by the way, in case this Tory government stumbles into a situation where Liverpool, from their point of view, is ungovernable, but we'll keep the city going. But the question we've got to ask ourselves, given the titanic struggle of the miners in 26 and 84-85, and the struggle of workers in the States throughout their history, what in the name of goodness has changed during that period? With the here in 1985, with the highest levels of recorded unemployment, with the economy in tatters, with despair and poverty pervading the conditions of ordinary working people. And it's against that background that people in Liverpool, and I'm not going to go into the details, Comrade Derek Hatton will do that, are struggling today, fighting back as they've never fought back before behind the leadership of the Liverpool City Council. But it's not the whim of a few town hall trots or tendency tacticians which have brought Liverpool into the position it is in now. It's years of decline and neglect, years a catastrophe of misery for working people in Liverpool, with the crimes of the Tories and the people that they represent, the social economic conditions prevailing in Liverpool over many decades, which have brought ordinary decent people to political conclusions about what needs to be done. And in our struggle, We don't think it's too much to ask of the trade union and labour leaders to come along behind us and support those particular struggles. But we take it as an insult to the credibility and honesty of councillors like Comrade Derek Hatton and others here today in this hall who are prepared to give up their homes, their livelihoods, be declared bankrupts, to go to jail on behalf of working people and not receive the support of so-called trade union and labour leaders. Comrades, the gloves are off in this dispute. When people are trying to throw packages down our throats, which would mean a devastation of the services and more levels, high levels of unemployment in Liverpool, and we're resisting, the filth, the lies and the distortions appear from the lips of those so-called leaders. But we have to remind the movement, if they want to play dirty, we'll play dirty as well. We have to remind the movement of the role of these worthy gentlemen during the NUM dispute, during the NGA dispute, and where are they now during the Liverpool dispute. We have to ask the question, if they're so keen now and they're so put out about what we're doing in Liverpool, creating jobs, providing services and looking after the interests of working people, and they're a bit discomforted about all this, where the hell have they been in the last 10 years or so? Where have they been since 1978 in Liverpool, when 65,000 jobs have gone in that period? Where were they when they were closing down Tate & Lyle's, Associated Biscuits, United Biscuits, Schweppes, BAT, Ford's, British Leyland, GEC, Plessy's? The catalogue is endless. Where the hell were they organising against the bosses like they're organising now against the Liverpool City Council?
like. Elaine, I wish you'd hurry up. I'll see you on trough. Anyway, who was it? Bus driver, who do you think? Do you know him? Only as well as you can now, bus driver. Have you heard anything from Mick lately?
He rang me mum's earlier on. To tell you the truth, I can't be arsed with him.
Why not?
Oh, he's off his mong, isn't he? He's just into lounging around and smoking pot.
I like him.
I suppose he's all right. But you get a bit bored, don't you? I mean, I've been caught in 14 months now, and the novelty wears off after a while.
I suppose so. Do you think he'll be in here?
God, yeah. Well, I want to cop off tonight.
Couldn't be bothered myself.
What?
I'm sick of the men up here. They've got no romance in them.
Well, Kirby isn't the most romantic place in the world, is it, Elaine?
That's what I mean. It's a bore. Don't you ever get sick of it?
No, I don't. I'm too busy working to get sick of it.
Yeah, well, you're one of the lucky ones, aren't you?
I suppose you're right. Oh, fucking hell, that's not the rain, is it? Yeah, it'll get ruined.
See what I mean? I wish I was in Casablanca or somewhere like that. You know, all hot and exotic.
It rains in Casablanca as well, you know?
Go away, does it? All the things you learn outside a pub. Come on.
Do I look okay? Has me mazzy smudging? What about me? Has it stayed up?
Tracy, you threw a full can of lacquer on it before you came out. It's going to take a monsoon to shift that lot. Now, come on. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Elaine. Hi, Tracy.
Ooh, let's squeeze my ass in next to you.
You just finished work?
Yeah, there's a bit of overtime going. Should have finished at 5. God, it's not packed in here, isn't it?
Still on the chicken factory then?
Yeah, but it's doing me head in.
What exactly do you do?
Take the innards out of chickens, put them into little plastic bags and stuff them back up again. Then they play this classical music shite. But the only thing is, they speed it up bit by bit throughout the day and you end up stuffing chickens in time for the music.
God, how disgusting. Your hands must stink.
And so would yours. He had them stuffed up chickens' arses all day. Any scandal?
I was just telling Elaine about that girl over there.
What girl?
Remember? You told me about her giving a wank to that fella from St. Mary's.
I never.
You did?
I never. I said she went round the back with him, but I didn't see what happened after that. I was just fuming because he didn't want to go round the back with me. I mean, what man is right mind to refuse a dollop of what I've got to offer?
She's a little scut, and I'm sure she fancies my mate.
Oh, come on, Tracy, we've all done it.
Done what?
Give wank and had our tits fell down. We've loved it and all. It's just that some people like her get copped and some people like you don't.
Aye, Teresa, don't put me in the same category as her, because I'm a different type of girl to that.
Oh, all right, Tracy, leave it out. She's only a kid. Anyway, forget it before it gets out of hand.
I'm going to win.
God, Elaine, what are you doing with her? I know she's a nice girl and everything, but she can be one jealous bitch. You know Mick fucked her off, don't you?
Well, I thought it was the other way around.
No, that's what she wants people to think. He fucked her off and copped off with her over there. Do you think we better go over?
No, it'll be okay.
And you? You shouldn't even be in here at your age. Never mind sniffing around fellas old enough to be your father.
Hi, Teresa. Hello.
Hi, Mick. If you so much as glance sideways at my mate, this is the end of my stiletto to the crack of your ass.
Hey! Get here! I said get here!
Hi, Mick. Who are you with?
Been going, Johnny. I've just come from the toes. Come and sit with us.
Yeah, I'll be over in a minute.
I don't suppose you've got any money on you, have you?
How much do you want?
Can I have it, Bluey?
Yeah, hang on a minute. Oh, Mick, love, is that fiver, are you?
Oh, that's all right, that's it. I just got to know something. Do you want
one? Oh, no, thanks, love.
How about you two? Oh, yeah. All right, then. See you later.
I'll be over in a minute. He must have been looking out for me. I think he was looking out for your purse, wasn't he? Well, he's normally loaded. Just that he's been laid off. Anyway, I'll get over and have a gab. See you later.
Yeah, see you later, Tracy.
Tracy. Thank God he came in. I couldn't have put up with it. It wouldn't have gone much longer. Do you fancy going somewhere else?
Like where, Teresa? There's nowhere up here.
I fancy going into town, but I'm skint. I'd offer to take you, Elaine, but I've only got my mum's wages, and if I don't give them to her, she'll chaw the face off me.
purse strings are tight, love. I wasn't dropping in today, I just wanted to get away for a few hours.
I know.
I said I don't know what you're talking about, didn't I?
Oh, fuck me mad in the wages. Let's jump a taxi into town.
The boy said she'll show the face off you.
She will. But for a bit of luck, I won't feel a thing. If I intend to get fucking legless.
You're giving her the eye. I saw you.
I only winked.
She winked back at you.
I can't help that.
Can't you? Well, I'll wink the eyes off you so I can talk to you again.
Will you?
Yeah.
Will you?
Yeah, you heard me.
Oh, do you want, woman?
Life is very long when you're lonely. crap, 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 crap.